Today we're going to pick it up from the fourth reading. It's chapter 45, verse 28. The message has been received by Yaakov. And Yaakov's initial response or reaction is Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam. The news of Yosef's safety, security, prominence, greatness, all of this affects Yaakov in a very, very positive way. And as if his spirit comes back to life. Vayoyimer Yisrael. So now we go from Yaakov to Yisrael. Same person, of course. He said, Rav Oid Yosef Benichoy. We'll soon see what that means. Rav means a lot, usually. Much. My son Yosef is still alive. Elcho ve'erenu beterem amos. So Yosef said, Ha'od avichai, is my father still alive? And his father said, Rav od Yosef benichai, my son Yosef is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Says Rashi, what's the meaning of Rav od? What's Rav od? So he says, this is what Yaakov said. Rav li od, I still have much. In other words, there is still much simcha and chedva, still much joy and happiness. Hoyel since the oid Yosef bini choy. Since my son Yosef is still alive, I still have much joy. And because I have much joy, let's go. There's still much living to do, if you will. The Targum Yonason tells us that at a midrashic level, the Rav Oid is Yaakov Avinu recounting Hashem's many kindnesses. Or he's doing what we proverbially refer to as counting your blessings. He says, Hashem has done so many good things with me. Hitzilani miad Esav, he saved me from Esav. And then there was Lavan, he saved me too. The Kananim, who pursued Yaakov after Shimon and Levi massacred Shechem, Hashem saved Yaakov Avinu from that too. And then he says, Har b'nechames, there are many kinds of condolences and solace that I receive from Hashem. But he says, Ach l'nechama hazu, for this kind of condolence, this kind of solace, this kind of comfort, this is really never imagined. That's beyond. So that's Rav Oid. This is beyond. Beyond. There's many. I have many blessings. But that's a blessing I never dared even to count. The Chizkuni says, he says, my son Yosef's alive, let me go see him. So the Chizkuni says, that's all that interests me. It's like, he's alive, I go see him. He is a king, he's not a king, I don't care what he is. If he's alive, I'm going to see him. Whereas the Bali HaTesfah say, that the children of Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov, were talking in great detail about his position, about his honor, about his glory. And Yaakov said, okay, enough, I don't need to hear all that. None of that's important to me. My son's alive, That's good enough. I want to go see him. Rabbeinu Bechaya emphasizes that the idea of Rav Oid is schar, is a word from Hashem. And he says there is both reward in this world and in the next world, which is similar to something Rashi says much earlier, that Yaakov had a tradition, or this truism, that if he would not lose any of his children, that he'd be assured Olam Haba. And now he says, I know for sure that everything is worked out. It's all good. The Lekach Tov says something that's closest to the way we understood Ha'id Avichai. How could my father still be alive? In other words, this is a rhetorical question. Here it becomes a rhetorical statement. He says, wow, Rav Koichai, look what an incredible power he has. He went through so much. He experienced all this. And he's still Chai, he's still alive, which perhaps one could, with poetic license, say, and he's alive Jewishly. He's not just alive that he's not dead. He's saying Yiddish, I leapt. He's a vibrant Yid. He says, oh, that's unbelievable. I have to go and see him. And Abarbanel points out, El Chove El Enu, similar to the Chizkuni, he says, I'm not going to see his position. I'm not going to see his throne. I'm not going to see the palace, the compound. I am interested in seeing him alone. Him alone, that's all. That's all that interests me. And so, Yaakov Avinu, our father Jacob, now begins his journey. Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo'i. Father Jacob, Israel, sets forth, and all that is with him, joins him on this journey. Vayavoi Be'er Shava. They come to Be'er Shava. Vayizbach Zvochim Lekei Aviv Yitzchak. He brings offerings, korbanot, to the God of his father, Yitzchak. So there are many difficult things about that pasuk. And one is, what's Be'er Shava? So Rashi says something which is extremely common in the book of Genesis. He says, Be'er Shava means Kemoy Libe'er Shava. He came to Be'er Shava. The hey, B'Seif HaTeva, the hey at the end of the word of Be'er, like Be'er, Bimkoyim Lamed B'Tchilasa, that serves in the place of a Lamed in the beginning. So instead of Libe'er Shava, Be'er Shava means the same thing. All right. But this pasuk is difficult to understand. The most obvious difficulty is that God is referred to as the God of Yitzchak. Is he not the God of Avraham? Why emphasis God of Yitzchak? So Rashi says, that's not really a question. Because Chayiv Adam b'chveid aviv yeser m'chveid zekeinu. A person is obligated to show dignity, respect, pay homage, if you will, to his own father more so than to his grandfather. Even though a grandfather also is included in kibud av v'eim. Lefichach, therefore, tala b'yitzchak v'loi b'avraham. That's why he makes a point of emphasizing Yitzchak and then Avraham. That's to show the proper idea of kibud av v'eim, the proper idea of respect for one's parents. Okay. That's what Rashi deals with, because that's the most outstanding and egregious difficulty. So that difficulty is, so to speak, put to bed. That's, now you know why it says, v'yizbach zvachem l'lekei aviv Yitzchak. I should note that Radak has a little bit of a different approach to that. He says he knew specifically that Yitzchak did not go to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak was thinking of going to Egypt because of a famine. Much like Avram went to Mitzrayim because of a famine, if Avram Avinu was not stopped, Yitzchak was stopped. God says, Gur Baretz Hazeis. So Radak says, this is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to know. Should I stop or should I continue? Is this a Yitzchak-like paradigm? That was his question. But Rashi maintains that the issue here is kibud av v'eim on a simple level. Now Rashi does not talk about why Yitzchak went to Be'er Sheva. What do you? You went to Be'er Sheva because you went to Be'er Sheva. I'm pshuta shel mikra, that's not a question. But on a deeper level, a level of remes, we'd look for some kind of illusion. What's up with Be'er Sheva? Is it the only city in the south? I mean, like, so what, he stopped there? He stopped in many places. And why did he choose to bring offerings there? Why didn't he bring offerings in Hebron before he left? If this was kind of like a leaving Israel farewell, so then he should bring offerings in Hebron before he leaves. Instead, immediately he packs his bags, and it says, V'chol asher loy. So the Erechaim explains clearly, it does not refer to the material residuals, it's not talking about his possessions. V'chol asher loy is all of the household. Okay, immediately packed up the whole household, and as soon as he heard Yesus alive, he said, I must go see him. Doesn't say he built him his Beach, he didn't create any altars, didn't bring any offerings, didn't make any prayers. He set forth. Now in Be'er Sheva, suddenly he's busy. What is he doing in Be'er Sheva? So the Medrash Rabbah says he went to cut trees down. Because Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayita Eishel Be'er Sheva. Avraham Avinu plants a forest. He plants an orchard in Be'er Sheva. And these are the same trees that Yitzchak tended to. And now Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim. He is taking the trees with him. So more accurately, even though it says Lichres Eitzim, the really proper way to say it would be uproot the trees. He uprooted them, took these trees, and he plants them in the soil of Mitzrayim. And what happened was, is these are later the wood or the trees that were used to build a Mishkan. Acacia wood. And what happened, also the Medrash says, that a parent during the terrible times of Golos Mitzrayim would go for a walk in the Jewish forest. And you say, you see these trees here? These trees are planted by Yaakov. You know who planted these trees? Originally, Avraham Avinu planted these trees. And you know what? We are going to get out of here. And when we do, these trees are coming with us, and there's some kind of sacred special purpose that's attached to it. We don't know exactly what it is, but this is going to happen. So there was an actual vivid reminder, like almost like a proof of Hashem's promise. Unfortunately, it did not help us much, because most people assimilated anyway. Anyway, that's what the Medrash Rabbah says. That's the business of going to Be'er Sheva. Rebbe Lazar Akech has a fascinating take on this whole thing. He says, Avraham Avinu, we know after the Akedah, went to Be'er Sheva. I forget why he went, but that's the fact. That's what it says. And he went to Be'er Sheva. So it says, Yitzchak was brought as an offering and then taken down, and there was an aisle that was brought instead of him. And here, it says, also something happened. Something happened to Yaakov. It was like an Akedah. He said he knew he was supposed to go down to Mitzrayim. That's a promise that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu. So if he has to go down to Mitzrayim, how's he going to go down? So Yaakov always thought that somehow there would be a terrible situation. He expected to end up going down to Mitzrayim. And the expression is, B'shal Shaloi Shal Barzel, in iron chains. That's what he expected to go down. He expected to be chained, go down in chains. But he said now, he saw that Hashem instead sent his son Yosef down to Mitzrayim, in chains kind of, because he was taken as a slave. And what happens then? And because of that, Yaakov now goes with a sense of remarkable dignity and honor. And so he felt as if Yosef was like an Akedah for him. He felt Yosef went down the chain instead of him. So he says there, if you draw a parallel between the Akedah, where the aisle was Neka Tumuras Yitzchak, where Yitzchak was replaced with an aisle. And therefore, he said, if my grandfather went to Be'er Sheva after an Akedah experience, I probably should go to Be'er Sheva too. Yizbal Zvachim brings these offerings. And what happens when he reaches out to Hashem, in the parlance of Chassidus and Pnimius HaTeira, the esoteric teachings of Teira, Isarusa de la Sata, Ma'ira de Sarusa de la Ila, an awakening from below brings forth an awakening from on high. Yitzchak reaches out to Hashem, he brings the offerings, and indeed he is responded to. Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael, Almighty God says to Yisrael, B'maris Halayla, in the nocturnal vision. Nocturnal. Vayomer, and he said, Yaakov, Yaakov. He calls his name twice, Jacob, Jacob. Vayomer, and he says, Hineni, here I am. So, the most obvious question here is, so far it's understood. Yoimer, Elokim li Yisrael, he said to Yisrael, and he said it b'maris halayla. Okay, so if number one, I know who spoke, God spoke, Yoimer Elokim. To whom did he speak, li Yisrael? How did he speak, b'maris halayla? And what did he say? He said, Yaakov, Yaakov. And when he finished saying, Yaakov, Yaakov, what did Yaakov say? He named it. Okay. So why does it say Yaakov, Yaakov twice? What's up with the redundancy? You call his name. Call his name once. How many times do you have to call his name? So Rashi says that Yaakov, Yaakov is Lashon Chiba. It's an expression of endearment. Hashem is expressing his love for Yaakov. Now one might ask that if he's expressing his love, why is he calling him Yaakov? Why does he call him Yisrael? Yisrael, after all, is the name of virtue. And you might think that Yaakov, which is the name that's connected to the Akev, to the heel, is less than dignified. So Rashi tells you not so. You should know that the reason of Yaakov, Yaakov, is Lashon Chiba. So why does Yitaka call him Yaakov? Why doesn't he call him Yisrael? Why that name? So the thing is that indeed, said the Balei HaTosfos, it says Taka that his name will not be called Leikara Oid Shimcha Yaakov Kimisol. Taka, that says, it does say that. But that means for other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always calls him Yaakov. But the Balei HaTosfos don't explain that. However, if you look in Torah and all the Memorim from the Rebbeim afterwards, the idea of Yaakov is Yud Ekev, the idea of Bittul, the idea of making himself small, self-abnegation. And what was the most remarkable and beautiful quality of Yaakov? Was his extraordinary humility. So Yaakov was so humble, that's how Hashem calls out to him, recognizing his deep humility. And this is not different from another very great Jewish leader who will appear in a few generations from now, who's the hero of the next book. His name is Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Torah wants to give an epithet to Moshe and tell you who Moshe is, how great Moshe is, what does the Torah say? Anov mikol adam, most humble. So therefore, the idea of humility is the ideal, that's the ideal and perfect complement, the ultimate complement. And that's why Rashi says, do not read into this Yaakov, Yaakov. No, no, no. It's Lashon Chiba. This is a language of love. This is an expression of endearment. He cherishes him. He calls him Yaakov. So if he calls him Yaakov, Yaakov, and this is about love, why does it say Vayomer Elikim? Elikim is the name of God that's associated with discipline or diminishment or minimalism insofar as revelation is concerned, the bare minimum of what's required. It should say Yud Kevavke. Then Vayomer Havai El Yisrael. Why does it say Elikim? So Rabbeinu Bachai kind of answers this question. He says, they're now on the way to Golos. And Golos, Golos exile is not a good thing. Golos exile is not a brilliant, beautiful thing. It's a dark thing. A necessary thing, but a dark thing. And therefore, Shem Elikim, that's the appropriate name for going down into Golos. But let's step back for a second. God, so Elikim says, and he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, Yaakov is his name. But he speaks to him, he speaks to Yisrael, B'maris Halaylo. What is Maris Halaylo? So Ravam says, this is a prophecy. Don't fool yourself. This is not a dream, some kind of pipe dream, a chalom. No, this is a prophecy. And he said, it doesn't say the word chalom here, actually. Take a look. You see the word chalom? It says, Vayomer. God said, B'maris Halaylo. It says it's not a dream. The first prophecy Yaakov Avinu has when he's leaving Eretz Yisrael the first time is, Vayachalem. He has a dream. He sees this ladder that's stretching up to the very highest heavens. So that's not the case here. Here, this is not a chalom like it was in the beginning. Yaakov started his prophetic career. Here, this is an actual prophecy. So then why does it say, B'maris Halaylo? Yaakov had this prophecy at night, but not to be understood as a dream. The Radak says that the reason that it says Yaakov, Yaakov, is precisely because of the fact that it was a prophecy. But like Ravam says, it was a prophecy. Is this correct? Yes, it was a prophecy. And that's the point. Yaakov has not had a prophecy in 22 years. Even though he had some glimmer of intuition when it came to sending his sons to Mitzrayim, he said, I think there's hope there. He had a glimmer. There's hope. But he did not have prophecy. And so, when you're getting prophecy, Hashem calls him Yaakov. And then again, Yaakov. He's trying to get him to focus. You need to focus. This is serious stuff. You're getting a prophecy now.
Did he have any doubt that he would be buried in Israel, or maybe he was afraid to go down?
Well, we'll soon see. So let's see what he was afraid of. Hashem now reassures Yaakov. Vayomer Yaakov, Hashem says, Anoichi hakel elekei avicha. I am the God of your father. God, the God of your father. Al tira. Do not be fearful. Do not be fearful. Mer de Mitzrayim, going down into Mitzrayim. Ki legoy gadol asimcha shom. I will make you into a great nation there. So do not be fearful. I will make you into a great nation. We don't know anything about fear. It doesn't say, we never heard about fear. We know Yisrael was not interested in Yosef's glory. He wanted to see him alive, that's all. We know that he said, you're alive, you care about Yiddishkeit, v'atchiru Yaakov Avinu. We saw the Agolas read in the previous reading. He saw that Yaakov remembers the last lesson, last Torah studies. This is good. I want to see him. He went to Beersheva, various reasons. We learned why he would have gone to Beersheva. Maybe an Akedah-like reason. Maybe to harvest some trees reason. But we didn't hear anything about fear. And now all of a sudden we're hearing about fear. So Rashi says, Lefi shahoyo meitzar, because he felt this deep-seated pain. Asher nizkak lotzeis l'chutz l'aretz, because he needs to go out of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Hashem comes along and reassures him and says, don't be fearful. Of course, the challenge in understanding this Rashi is, Rashi doesn't talk about fear, he talks about pain. We don't know anything about fear before. Now he's being reassured, fearfully reassured, if you will, but the fear is not allied. What was the fear? So I says, no, it wasn't fear. What do you mean? Isn't the pasuk altira? Altira means he must have had fear. Nah, he didn't have fear. He had pain. Then why say altira? It should say altachosh. I don't know. The pasuk says fear, and Rashi tells us something about pain. What is Rashi doing for us here? Now, we have an emphasis, this is the God of your father. Radak follows his approach. Just like he said before, he asked a korban l'lekei Yitzchak to see. Yitzchak did not have to go Hadak says, Hashem says, yes, Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father. And Yitzchak did not go to Mitzrayim, and you are going to Mitzrayim. It's not a contradiction. Yitzchak's Inyan was staying at Yisrael, and your Inyan is to leave at Yisrael. The Chizkuni says, Hashem responds in the way you reach out. He brought a korban Elokei Yitzchak. That was how he brought the korban. Was the response, Anochi, I am God, Elokei Avicha. Because it's always the Sedusa Lazata, Yisarusa Delela in language of Chassidus. It always goes in corollary with how you reach out. The way you reach out, that's the way you responded to. So the Mincha Belula says the fear was a fear of assimilation. He was afraid that his children would get too comfortable in Egypt. They wouldn't want to go back to Israel. They'd say, we'll do just fine over here. So that's why Hashem promises him, L'goy God L'asim Choshom. I will make you into a great nation. They will not become entirely assimilated. They will not forget who they are. They will become a great nation. The great nation means not becoming a great part of Mitzrayim, but they will remain independent, and they will be a nation unto their own. Okay, so what the Mincha Belula says gives us some kind of understanding. That gives us he doesn't explain what it means, Altira. He says, why there's a Tira? Why there's a fear? Well, Yaakov here is getting fearfully reassured but that's not what's his concern, or at least that's not what it says. So in order to understand this, we're going to have to take a look and see how the Rebbe explained it. I didn't find anybody else who explained this Rashi.
The difference between worry and fear here?
The difference between worry and fear. I mean, there is a difference. Worry and fear, are they one and the same? And Rashi doesn't say worry. He says meitzar. Meitzar, he was in pain. Reish tzadik zayin, simen yud zayin. Yesh lahavin. We need to understand this. Harei bekosov mefurash of the pasuk, it's explicit. Al tira mer de Mitzrayim. Hashem says, "Do not fear going down into Mitzrayim." In other words, kaloimer da agosei shal yaikev haisa. What was his worry? His anxiety. Maybe you're right. Maybe worry is fear. Was because of yirida le Mitzrayim. The issue was going down into Egypt. Rashi changes and says, "Shahadaiga hoisim mepnei hayetzia me'eretz Yisrael." Rashi says the worry was leaving Israel. In other words, the Rebbe is asking even a more profound question. The pasuk says, "Al tira, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Merda Mitzrayim, going down into Mitzrayim. What does Rashi say?" Shahaya Meitzar, he had pain, anguish. What was the anguish about? Leaving Israel, but it doesn't say leaving Israel in the verse. In the verse it says going down into Egypt. In the verse it's where you're going, not where you're going from. But in Rashi it's where you're going from rather than where you're going. No, it's definitely not the same thing. I could leave Canada and I could be going somewhere where I'm very unhappy to go. I'm not worried about leaving Canada, maybe, but I'm worried about where I'm going. Or I could be going somewhere and I'm really happy about this place, but I'm a little worried about leaving home. It's not the same thing at all. So the Rebbe says the explanation is like this. If Yaakov was worried about leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem should have reassured him right before he left. As soon as Yaakov decided, I'm going down to Egypt, I'm taking everybody with me. If that was the concern, Hashem should have come right away and said, you know what? Don't be afraid. I know you're afraid. I see you have fear. I reassure you. Okay. Why did he wait until Be'er Sheva? Why did Hashem wait till Be'er Sheva? From this Rashi understands, it wasn't, the pain wasn't going to Mitzrayim, because the moment he left Mitzrayim is when he should have been reassured. But the pain wasn't going to Mitzrayim. What was the pain? The pain was, he was going to Mitzrayim, on the contrary, out of joy. We just heard before, Rav Oid Yosef Menichai, El Chavaret HaRamamos. And Rashi explains, Ravli oid simcha v'chedva. Rashi says the simple interpretation is there's lots of life left to live. There's lots of joy waiting for me. So he was very happy to go. He wasn't going miserably. He's going happily. He's going to see Yosef. So what's the issue? What's the problem? The problem was Kishigilu Beersheva. He came to Beersheva, and let us follow the Medrash's approach that he's coming here to cut the trees, to uproot the trees. He's going to Mitzrayim. He's leaving Israel. This is it. This is the final stop. So this is the Ir Achreina B'Dremesh L'Tzol. This is the last major city in the south of Israel. Because the Negev Desert, incidentally, is not really Israel. Once you get past a certain point south, it's not really Israel anymore. It may be a state that we're allowed to control to some degree, but it's not really a biblical Israel. Look at the maps of old biblical Israel. Israel stretches very, very deep into the east, but doesn't go as south, doesn't dip south. So when he comes to Be'er Sheva, which is really, so to speak, in the south of Israel, the Amad Lotzeis Mi Eretz Yisrael B'Poel, he's actually going to leave the land of Israel. Suddenly he felt the pain. In other words, when do you feel the pain? When you're about to leave it. When you're about to lose it. That's when he felt the pain. And because he's about to leave Israel, that's why he feels the pain. That's why Hashem says, Altito Meir Demetzayim, don't be afraid of where you're going. But really, wasn't about where he was going, it was about where he was leaving. Maybe he'd just be great. Maybe he'd be fantastic. I don't know. But he's to leave Israel. That's the painful part. So Hashem says, Ki l'goy gadol asim chasham, I'll make you into a great nation. Which, of course, brings us to the next question. This is Simon Yud Ches. Go on, let's move forward. What kind of reassurance is that? That's a reassurance if you're concerned about assimilation, which is how the Mincha B'lula explains this whole situation. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, don't be afraid, because Hayom Meitzar, he felt bad about leaving Israel. Well, if you feel bad about leaving Israel, how does it make you feel any better that you get a reassurance that a great nation will grow out of you? He still feels bad. How does that mollify his pain in any way? That's question one. Question two, this is really not the first time Yaakov has left Israel. In fact, the last time he had a major prophecy was also before he left Israel. And it doesn't say over there anything about pain. I mean, he was cold, alone, maybe fearful of the future, but doesn't say anything about going to Israel. Why all of a sudden now he's afraid of going to Israel? Leaving Israel, pardon me. What's the fear of leaving Israel? And actually, we don't find when Avraham Avinu leaves Israel that he's meitzar, that he has pain leaving Israel either. This is the first time we have a phenomenon of somebody leaves Israel and is in pain because of it. And the obvious question is why? Vabir b'zeh. So the Rebbe says this is the explanation. People think this is a sign of Jacob's great Zionism, his love for Israel. He didn't want to leave Israel because he wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe says, no, that's not Yaakov's concern. Because if that would have been his concern, it should have been his concern last time. It should have been Avram's concern. What was his concern? The difficulty was taking his family out of Israel. He has to go. He has a mission to do. But take the family out. Which already, Manu Kvar Yesim Mishiv Nefesh was already topping 70 souls. They were starting to move from family to nation. This has caused Yaakov tremendous pain. Why? Yaakov said to himself, where is the place where Israel, a nation, should be established? What's the most natural place to establish the nation of Israel? In the land of Israel. That's the most natural place. The land that's promised to Israel. We'll build Israel in Israel. That kind of makes sense. Like Rashi says, that when does Hashem promise Avraham Avinu, the Eschol Goy Gadol, I'll make you into a great nation? Rashi says that was only when you come to Israel. That's why it says, Lech Lecha, Sham, in Israel, Eschol Goy Gadol. In Israel, I'll make you into a great nation. But here, you're not going to be a great nation. You have to leave it, go there. Because the land of Israel is where the people of Israel get manufactured. So just like that's the case with Avraham Avinu, is told explicitly that becoming a great nation hinges on being in the land of Israel. This was Yaakov's concern. This was his worry. This was his fear. This was his pain. His pain was that we're leaving the land that's supposed to make us into a great nation, and I'm just starting to come to a tipping point. I'm just reaching a cusp of moving from family into nation. Al-Kach Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to him, Al tira mer du mitzrayim. Do not be afraid. Ki legoy gadol asimcha sham. I will make you into a great nation. Do you know where I'll make you into a great nation? Sham there. Am Yisrael Yilegei Gadol. But even though it would seem intuitively the place of Israel growing as a nation should be where? In the land of Israel? But Hashem says no. They will be made into a great nation, but that will happen. Shom there, Dafke Be'eretz Mitzrayim. L'chein, imokayim, lachshayish ma'ayitziyam Eretz Yisrael. Do not feel bad about leaving Israel, which follows along the lines. Yaakov feels bad about leaving Israel. Why does he feel bad about leaving Israel? He feels bad about leaving Israel because what'll be with? The children. The future. Hashem says, Al tira. Don't be afraid. Don't feel bad about that. Why would he feel bad? The bad feeling is a worry and an anxiety. It is a worry. However, ultimately, Hashem says, L'goy God l'asim chasham. To which the Rebbe asked the final question. So Hashem never says to Yaakov, don't feel bad. He says, just don't worry. If this whole thing is about tsar, why doesn't the pasuk say, al titztar, don't feel bad? Why does it say, al tira? So the Rebbe says, you know what the answer is? Bottom of Amud Reish Tzadik Tes, the Rebbe says, pain about leaving Israel, appropriate. Feeling bad that you don't live in Israel, that's good. Fear? Fear is not for a Yid. A Yid fears Hashem. Al tira. Hashem says, don't feel bad. You couldn't feel bad. Feeling bad about something good is fine. You should feel bad if you don't live in Israel. There's nothing wrong with having pain. So why am I doing here in Canada? Why am I in Israel? That's fine. That's good. On the contrary, you should feel pain about not being here. But a Yid should be fearful. No. Al tira. Like we famously say, al tira b'pachat b'yisrael. Don't be afraid. For a Yid, there's no place for fear. No place. And so, our fear has to be mollified, and we have to be reassured. The fact that it bothers us, that's a good thing. On the contrary, one could even say, the Rebbe says, you know when there's nothing to be afraid of? When you feel bad. If you feel bad you don't live in Israel, then you don't have to be afraid. You'll become totally assimilated and become part of the reality, and you'll forget Israel. If you forget Israel, then you can be afraid. Then you're taka in trouble. But as long as you remember Israel, as long as you remember that the true place of a Yid is Eretz HaKedesh, in that case, you'll be just fine. Al tira, there's nothing to be afraid of.
So when did the nation of Israel actually start at Matan Torah?
This is a whole different question, which is totally beyond the purview of today's class, so I would just say l'chaim.
You know what he was really doing?
Stay tuned.
Seven people in the backseat.
In a bus.